Somebody's got to pick up for me. Yeah, Barry called me the other day, and he said, "You're my last line of defense. So you're the only reason, the only way I can keep Linda out of the pulpit." So at least there's that. I'm going to start in Romans 8:28 tonight. Talk about why God allows trials. Now, this is it's not a new topic. I know we've had several sermons, lessons, etc., on trials, and I don't have any earth-shattering revelations or anything like that tonight. More of a reminder, because trials are a thing that we all go through, and we seem to go through them more often than we'd like to. So it's always good to find encouragement and know why we are and what they're all about. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the joy that we have in knowing you. We thank you, Lord, even though we don't always understand them, for the trials that we face. We know there's good reason in them. We pray that you would just touch our hearts tonight and help us to become stronger as we anticipate the days that lie ahead and the things you have planned in our lives to prune us and teach us and bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, Romans 8:28, you guys could probably all just quote this by heart. It simply says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, how many times have you had somebody say, and I'm going to try this and see what your response is, "God is good all the time." There you go. That's the response. You hear that day in and day out, don't you? And I think we all believe that. Amen? We really do. God is good, and he's good all the time. But there are some questions that come to mind when we are facing a trial in our life. And I think this is a good topic, especially for younger Christians, because you guys have not faced some of the trials that people that have been Christians for a long time have had to go through. So you have a long life of serving God ahead of you, and there's going to be a lot of things you're going to have to face. And so you're going to have to understand why these things come. But, you know, the question most often that I hear from Christians is, "God, I'm serving you to the best of my ability. I'm doing everything I can to follow your will, and to my knowledge, while I know I'm not perfect, I'm faithful. I'm in church when the doors are open. I'm serving in various capacities, you know, that my abilities are suited for, and I pray, I share Christ. I'm doing everything you asked me to do as best I can, Lord, so why am I going through what I'm going through? Doesn't make any sense." Let me just share something personal, because this needs to be a personal message. It's something that each of us need to take to heart. My older sister, I have an older sister, a younger brother. My older sister had two children. One was a girl, the oldest was a girl, and then she had a boy. When he was 7 years old, his name was Tony. He was at my dad's house one day. My dad was babysitting him. He was out playing in the backyard. He went in the garage and was playing, doing something in the garage. We still to this day don't know what happened. Somehow, something caught fire. The garage burned down and he was killed. 7 years old. My younger brother, most of you know, had a son named Chris who had cancer, fought it for several years. When he was 13, he succumbed to cancer and passed away. I can't imagine what they had to go through to endure those trials in their lives. I thank God every day that I didn't have to, and I wonder why them and not me. But that's the way God chose for things to be, and I can't control those things. But when it comes to trials, even situations like that, we think, why do these things happen? I mean, there is a valid answer, and we're gonna talk about that, or I'm going to give you 4 points with regard to that. But here's some things that I know about. You got me on here, too. They're always difficult. Doesn't matter what it is, they're difficult. And I'll get down to the closing part. We can understand personally why all trials are difficult. It doesn't make any difference what they are or how severe they may seem to be. They're all difficult. And it seems like their timing is always bad. You know, when trials come, they seem to come at the very worst time in our lives. Now, maybe that's God's choosing. Maybe that's Satan intervening and God allowing. You know, I don't have all the answers to that. I do know God's in control. But whenever we go through trials, it seems like they come at the very worst times. Their value is hidden. We don't know. We ask that question, God, why am I going through this trial? But we do believe, as Romans 8:28 says, that there's a purpose. There's a reason. We quote that verse, we claim that verse, and when it comes right down to it, do we mean it like we think we mean it? God is in control, and though we don't understand, there's a value in it that we don't know about. And they seem to come all too often, don't they? Seems like you just get through one and another one comes along. Or you endure something that you think is really going to take you out. But somehow you get through it. And you're happy that it's over with, it's behind you, you've grown from it, and lo and behold, along comes something else, another trial. They just seem to keep coming, don't they? Especially as Christians in this world, I mean, we face a formidable foe. And so he's relentless. He's not going to let up. So they're going to keep coming. Those are just some bad points about trials. But I want to share the positive side to these trials. By no means is this an exhaustive approach, but it is nonetheless some things that I think are important that I think we should think about. And the first one we're going to find over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. And the first one is, trials test our faith. Trials test our faith. 1 Peter 1, 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more than precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. It tests the caliber of our faith. Caliber is a word that those of you that are gun people, you understand what it means when I use the word caliber. It measures basically the impact of your weapon or the ammunition that you're using. The higher the caliber, the more gunpowder you're putting into the round. And the more gunpowder you put into the round when it's fired, the more impact it has when it strikes its target. Well, when trials come into our lives, they're designed to measure or increase our impact. Whatever our target is in our particular ministry, we want to impact it with the utmost power, don't we? We want to have the highest impact possible. Well, trials add impact. They determine the impact that we can have. In other words, the way that we deal with trials is in direct correlation to the impact that we're going to have with those, to those around us. If we have endured something that someone else has endured, they're going to listen more. They're going to know that we understand them a little more. We're going to relate a little more to them. And so perhaps God will call us to go through some things that we don't want to go through simply because he wants us to have a greater impact in the targeted ministry that we have in our lives. There's really kind of two weapons that you have. And I mean, there's several weapons, but these are the two that I think, when it gets down to the nits and grits of getting through a trial, that really have the greatest power. One is prayer. Folks, when you pray, I mean, obviously, when you're facing a trial of some sort, no matter what it is in your life, don't you like having somebody to talk to? Somebody to share it with? Who better to talk to than Jesus? Pray. And when you've prayed all you can pray, then pray some more. And when you've really reached the end of your rope and you've exhausted your prayer life, pray some more. You can't go to God enough. You can't talk to Jesus enough about whatever it is you're going through, and he wants to hear it. He wants to know how you're responding. He wants to see what's going on, how he's working, whatever he's doing in your life. He wants to know how you're responding to it. So you need to talk to Jesus, like the Ghostbusters movie. Who are you going to call? You got to call Jesus, amen? Get Jesus on the line. You know, in order to really do that and do it effectively, you need to already have a good prayer life in place. You need to have that relationship with the Lord already. You don't want to wait until you get between a rock and a hard spot to try and talk to Jesus, because now you've got to start building a foundation of that relationship before you can really talk to him sincerely. So it's important to have that prayer life already intact so that when you've got a problem, you have someone you can talk to that you're confident with, that you're comfortable with, that has answered your prayers before. So you know when you go to him, he's going to give you an answer. Prayer, folks, is so important. People don't understand how much of an impact prayer has. Barry probably remembers this. All our lives, mom and dad always had this little chain sign thing hanging up that said, "Prayer changes things." That was kind of their motto. And it's so true, and most of you know that. Prayer, prayer, and more prayer. The other thing that will help you is a proper attitude. Just having the right attitude about whatever the trial is in your life. One of the most difficult adjustments that I ever had to make during the course of my maturing process, of course, I know that's probably a big question there. Maybe it's open for debate as to how mature I might be. But was being able to stay focused on whatever it was I needed to do to get through something rather than to respond based on my emotions. Because your emotions run rampant. When you're going through a trial, you go through the whole gamut, don't you? Anger, fear, sadness, remorse, all that rushes through, and you're tempted to respond based on those things. But if you understand that this is simply God's, something that God has either brought into or allowed into your life, and there's a reason for it, then it helps you to get through it because you see it for what it really is. It's a trial of your faith. Folks, there's always a bigger picture. Always a bigger picture. I said I want to make this kind of personal. I don't know if I've shared this with you before or not. I mentioned my brother and my sister both lost children. Well, one of the things that had impacted me greatly is when Chris died, there was a point, and Barry has told you this, but I'm not telling you anything he hasn't shared with you. Barry reached a breaking point because he kind of had this agreement with God that if God would make him a preacher, you know, that God would do everything to dedicate him to that purpose and so on. And he was confident God was going to let him live. Well, it didn't happen that way. He still died. And so Barry actually reached a point where he was actually going to announce that he was through with the ministry. And then God intervened with one of the other pastors who simply made a statement about how Chris was preaching to more people than he'd ever be able to preach to. And I don't have time to go into the whole story with the newspaper article and all that sort of thing, but it was a pretty impactful thing. But that's not the end of the story. Of course, that helped him get through that time of crisis. But that wasn't the end of it. It's still going on today. Because you have a breaking point, and you get through that breaking point. Well, what you do after that breaking point is not so much what you do as it is what caused you to get through that breaking point. As I see it, Chris is still winning souls today. because Barry's still in the ministry, and it was all because of what happened. Had that not occurred, maybe something else would have happened, and he would have stepped away from the ministry. I don't know. I'm just saying that there is a much, much bigger picture in mind, and maybe there's even more to it than that we don't see still. But folks, when trials come, there's always more to it than we know. God wants his children to have more faith. I mean, doesn't the Bible say without faith it's impossible to please God? Amen. And so he's going to find a way to make it that happen. He'll do it. He'll do whatever it takes to make it happen because he loves you. He loves me. And when he sees something in our life that he knows needs to be taken out or pruned away, he's going to do it in order to draw us closer to him. Don't you do that with your own children? You punish them or whatever it is it might be in order to make life better for them or in order to help them learn discipline, to learn right from wrong. And one of these days, maybe they'll learn to appreciate it. They'll appreciate what a mom and dad really does. Maybe it'll make them better moms and dads. So, in a sense, folks, we bring our trials on ourselves. It's either because we're disobedient to God and he's trying to get our attention and draw us back, or maybe it's because we are obedient to God and there's a more impactful ministry that lies ahead that he wants us to be a part of. He wants to train us and teach us to prepare us for that great ministry. Trials, folks, test our faith. And it's necessary that our faith be tested in order to expand it and to make it greater. Secondly, turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Actually, I think I want to read 9 and 10. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto our Father's spirits and live? And the point I want to make here is that trials teach us lessons. And here it is. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He's trying to teach us to be partakers of his holiness. Now, there's a lot of things in our lives that we need to absorb and grow into in order to become more holy. We know we'll never be perfect until the day we're glorified and we go on to be with Jesus, but there's a process that's taking place during the course of our life called sanctification. We're becoming more and more like him, and it takes trials in order to do that. And like it or not, there's a lot of lessons we need to learn. As I was going through high school and even college, in every year of my life for that matter, I thought, I've learned enough. I know enough to get by now. I can get a job. I can earn a living. And lo and behold, I go back the next year and how about that? There's more to learn. And isn't that the same way it is in life? Every year, every day, we find more and more and more to learn. It's like reading God's word. The more we read it, the more we learn. The more it opens up to us. The more things that we see in there. So God uses our trials to get our attention. Because sometimes, like I said, we're just kind of cruising along because we think we've got it all figured out. And sometimes we just kind of get a little stubborn because we think we've got all the answers. Folks, just let me say this. I can't tell you how many times I stood in the pulpit, a pastor for 27 years, and it didn't take me long to learn that a good number of the people in the audience knew a lot more than I did. I felt very humble a lot of times because I was preaching to people that I knew should be preaching to me, and they did in their own way. Don't ever think you know more than somebody else. Because if you do, you got a lesson to learn. And it's not going to be pretty when you learn it. God's going to find a way to teach us that. We got to learn to do those things that are pleasing in God's sight. To learn to live the way that he wants us to live. He wants us to put him first. Here's a tough lesson. I didn't really even have this in my notes, but it just kind of comes to me. One of the hardest things to do is to learn to love one another. I mean, really, love one another. And this is really important for any kind of person in leadership, especially pastors, and Cody is a young preacher, and Mallory is his wife, and so on. One of the biggest lessons you can learn is to love people. I mean, love them to death. Regardless of who they are, what they've done, how badly they've treated you, you got to love them. Find a way to love them. And let them know that you love them. And if you don't do that, you've got a big lesson to learn. If you're going to be successful in serving God, love people. That's just one of those lessons. But if you're putting him first, you'll learn that. Because if you learn to love God the way you should, you'll learn to love people the way you should. But let something come between you and God, and that's a very sure way to bring along a tough trial. He'll bring you down. He'll get your attention. God wants us to learn to exercise patience with one another. That's a tough one. Being patient with people that certainly don't deserve it, haven't earned it, may never. Quite honestly, a lot of the people that you learn, try to love and try to exercise patience with and go the extra mile for will never reciprocate. But it's just kind of like soul winning. You might go out and knock on 50 doors and hopefully win one person, but it's still worth it, isn't it? The lessons that God has to teach us are well worth it. So learning these lessons is really the only way to find his will in our lives. And I've learned that talking about how things always come at the, seems like the wrong time, and they come way too often. God's timetable is never our timetable. He's got his own thing. Sometimes the best way to handle a trial when it comes into your life is wait it out. Let it run its course. Let God have his way and learn the lesson that he wants you to learn. Because that's what a real trial is. It's just something that he wants you to be improved by. Something he's going to use to teach you. How many of you, when you were in school, loved it when the teacher said, okay, put away your books, pull out a pen and paper, we're going to have a pop quiz? Now, put your hand down, Cheryl. You just like it because that's what you get to do now. You're just getting revenge. That's all you're doing. I hated tests. But you know what tests do? They make you study. Now, admittedly, I was one of those crammers. How many crammers do we have here? Yeah, okay, there you go. The night before, I'm up all night trying to digest as much as I can. And I'm thinking, all I got to do is remember this for a few hours and I'm good. And then when it's over, it's all gone. But surprisingly, a lot of it sticks. You just don't realize it. But tests were never fun. But you learned from them, didn't you? It made you study. It made you concentrate. It made you focus. And if you really didn't learn any of the facts on the test, at least you learned some skills, if nothing else. That's what trials do. They make you focus. They get your attention. They make you realize that God cares about me when it comes right down to it. After you get through all this why me stuff, you look back and you think, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm better for it. So they make you learn lessons. Thirdly, trials testify to others. Stay right there, Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The world needs to know that there's a way through what we face. They see the trials that we face, maybe especially if it's the loss of a loved one or a sickness or something that's very obvious. They may not see some of the personal stuff, but they see the trials that we all face. We see one another's issues in life. The world needs to see how you respond. They need to see what you learn from them. They need to see what your attitude is. How badly do the war-torn nations of the world need to see how America handles the issues that we face? Unfortunately, we don't do such a good job, it seems like. But they need to see a nation that can turn to God. They need to see a people that can turn to God. They need to see you and I individually that can put our faith in Christ and stand tall in times of trial. How about orphaned and starving children? How about drug addicts, the elderly, the widowed, the impoverished? They need to see how we handle trials. These are people we come in contact with every day. The world is watching. They know that we're facing troubles. How can we relate to these people if we've never experienced any of the things that they've experienced? That's one of the strengths of the local church. We haven't all gone through the same thing, but collectively we have. There's somebody that's gone through something, everything. And so we pool our resources and we can reach out to a very diverse nation, a diverse community. Now here's the hard part. We talked about impact. If you knew the impact of the ministry up front, by going through a trial of some type, would you be more willing to go through it? If God came and said, I have this ministry for you, in order to be successful in that ministry, in order to have the impact you have to have, I'm going to put you through a trial. What would you say? Most of us would like to say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But what if? What if he had come up to Barry and said, Barry, I want you to have an impact on parents who have lost children, but in order for you to do that, you got to give up one of your children. How would you respond to that? Or your spouse? Or a loved one. When God himself is saying, I have a ministry for you, but in order to prepare you for that ministry, here's what has to happen. What do you say? Boy, sometimes, I got to tell you, I thought during the course of my life, you know, as I thought about my sister and my brother, what if that happened to me? Which one of my children would I give up? That's not something I want to think about. It's not something I belabored, because unless it was going to happen to me, I didn't want to think about it. But that's the way trials work, isn't it? But that's why he doesn't explain them to us. That's why when we say, why me, he says, just trust me. Just trust me. Because if we knew what was going on, odds are maybe we love Jesus. We love lost souls, but God, I can't do that. You're asking too much. Kind of makes you think more about Jonah when he said, go to Nineveh, and he said, I can't do that. I hate those people up there. I can't go. We wonder how he can refuse God. Well, just depends on how personal the trial is. That's what it really comes down to. If God is really in control, can't we just trust him and know that things will be fine? I guess if we had a choice, at least if I had a choice, I'd rather not know. I don't want to make the choices as to what my trials are going to be, because I'll probably refuse some of them. We need to learn to just trust God. We probably do it after the fact, but that's what it comes down to, isn't it? That's what trials do, and they help us then to testify to others. They look at us and they see the trials that we've gone through, and they think, got to be a great God to get them through that. Or at least, now there's somebody I can talk to, or there's somebody I can listen to, there's somebody I can relate to. That's what trials do. And lastly, in John chapter 15, verse 2, trials train us for service. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Isn't that what I said when I started? When there's things in our life that don't belong to, just he gets rid of them. So if we're in sin, he's going to move on us. But if we're serving him, we're already bearing fruit. He's still going to purge us so we can bear more fruit. It trains us for service, to do whatever it is he's got. This verse pictures Jesus as a gardener who is pruning his plants. Most of you know enough about planting. Some of you know a lot more than I do. But I know enough to know that you got to get rid of the weeds. You got to get rid of the dead leaves. I worked on my grandma and grandpa's farm enough to know that you had to go into the tobacco and get rid of all the dead leaves and cut the tops off and do all that. We had to hoe all the weeds out of the corn and all of that stuff. It was unpleasant work, but we had to do it. But you got to do that so the ones that are still alive will grow and grow faster and grow richer and yield more fruit. God will weed out all the non-productive and the harmful parts of our lives through trials so we can progress. That's the whole picture behind it. Now, if we're unwilling to let him do that, what choice does that leave him? Then he's going to do it with us kicking and screaming, and it's going to hurt a lot more. The more we resist, the tougher it gets. Because God is going to draw us closer to him. If you truly belong to Jesus, he's going to draw you closer to him. You know, people don't think about that when they get saved. Maybe they would, fewer people would. I don't know. But if you really give your life to Jesus, not only is the world going to give you a hard time, in some ways God's going to give you a hard time because he's going to force you to grow. You can tell I don't do a lot of exercising, but there's been times when I have. You know, during the course of my life, I've lost in excess of 200 pounds. Just the same weight. I lose it and I gain it back, and I lose it and I gain it back. And I go through these times of exercise. But, you know, let's just say you're going to start walking. I mean, that's what the doctors tell you. At least start walking. So what do? You get out, you walk around the block, and you come home, and you're hot and sweaty, and you're out of breath, and you sit down and get a glass of iced tea and turn on the TV, and you're done for the evening. So the next night, you get to feeling guilty. Okay, I'm going to try walking again, and I'm going to try to walk two blocks. And man, you manage to get through those two blocks, or maybe a block and a half if you're me. You get back home, and your thighs start aching, and your calves are burning. It's not fun. And the more you do, the more it hurts and the harder it is. But before you know it, you're walking a couple of miles or something. Well, that's what trials are for. They're not pleasant. They hurt. But you're in better shape when it's done. And you're more capable of doing whatever it is that God wants you to do. I remember when I first started trying to learn to play a banjo. And those of you that play instruments, Barry knows this, playing a guitar. When you first start playing, and your fingers hurt. They start aching. Some guys are so dedicated they start bleeding. I was never one of those, but some guys did that. And so you wait, and then you go back and you try it again, and boy, it hurts, and you start playing some, it starts feeling a little bit. Pretty soon you start building calluses up on your fingers. Pretty soon it doesn't hurt anymore. Well, that's what trials do. When the sores heal and you're beyond that initial stage, you start refining your talent. You start getting better at it. You get it to where somebody might actually want to hear you play a little bit, or at least they don't make faces when you play so much. You got to get calluses in your life in order to be impactful in your ministry, and that takes trials to do that. And the last point I want to make, I mean, it's not a major point, but on this thought, training for service. Every trial is tailor-made to your unique situation so that the target of our ministries will be able to relate to us. Here's something that I've heard a lot, and I've even said it myself, and most of you probably have too. Well, nobody knows what I'm going through. Maybe I don't know the particulars of your trial, but what I do know is this: it's what God has chosen for you, and it's equally as difficult for you to face whatever it is you're facing as for me to face whatever I'm facing. My trial is not any worse than yours. And when I look at my own trials, I think, in honesty, I don't think they're as bad as trials other people face. But the bottom line is, they're tailor-made. And here's the one thing that I do know. I do know that you're going through a temptation by Satan, or you're going through a trial that God is putting you through. One of those two. And it doesn't make much difference. It's kind of like sin. Sin is sin. It's all sin. The only real sin is whether or not you receive Christ as your personal Savior or not. Other than that, it's just results of that one sin. So sin is sin. We like to look at them and think, well, murder is worse than stealing chewing gum, but it's still sin. Okay? Well, I know that going through a trial is going through a trial. And it's what God has designed for you and whatever He's designed for me. So in that sense, I know exactly what you're going through. I don't care what your particular trial might be. I know exactly what you're going through. You're either being chastised and trying to being brought closer to God, or you're being pruned for a greater service and being drawn closer to God. Either way, I know what you're going through because I've been through both of them. And we go through these things so others might understand it better. So keep this in mind. Only God knows how to use a trial effectively. He knows how to make us respond and come through it and be what He wants us to be. Only God knows the purpose of the trials we face. And like I said before, I don't think we really want to know the purpose. We're better off to just trust Him. It's a lot easier to trust Him than to decide whether or not we actually want to go through this thing or not. Consequently, only God knows the answers to our questions. But He's staying mum. A lot of our questions, He's not really answering because He doesn't want us to know the answer. What He really wants us to do is just trust Him. You don't need to know, just trust me. So, putting our faith in Him when we go through trials, what other choice do we really have? There really are no other choices, are there? It's whatever God has chosen for our lives, and whatever that trial needs to be, so be it. It's of God. Let's stand, and as we pray, I want you to ponder what may be going on in your life, what God may have brought to you, and what He's trying to do with it. because whatever it is, I assure you, it's designed to draw you closer to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for trials in our life, hard as it may be. Much as we hate them, much as we resist, we know that all things work together for good, them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Help us to have a deeper understanding of that tonight, Lord, and help us to be more willing to go through whatever it is we got to go through to do whatever it is you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing tonight, perhaps...